on earth as it is in heaven. And he also described it as a church revolution through serving. Okay? So, servolution cannot be described as an event or a program that one kind of attends. It's more to do with a lifestyle of service to others. And I know we've had a number of different speakers here at our church who have kind of emphasized this point. You know, for me, the greatest take-home message that I got last weekend was the idea that, you know, often when we think in terms of outreach and sharing our faith with others, that it's often a program or an event that we invite people to. Usually I'm running it and I'm asking all of you, encouraging, pleading, praying all of you guys to come along to my program to support me. But the reality is, friends, is that Servolution is all about ministering wherever we are every day. It's not an event. It's not a program. It's who we are. It should become a part of us and the way in which we relate with people throughout the week. Amen? That's how it should be, friends. That's what it is really all about. You see, Servolution is a picture of the Church of God finally rising up to fulfill the commandment of Jesus when he said to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's what it's really all about. In a nutshell, Servolution, as I shared with us last week, is really down to this question. What would Dorcas do in this particular situation? Marshall and I, we had an opportunity two Sabbaths ago. It was a Friday night. We're coming here for a worship practice, music practice. We're up at the shops just up the hill here, and a lady had fallen over. And she was lying on the ground with her husband, an elderly couple, and there were a number of people around them, and so we come over and offered assistance. And basically it ended up this lady, because the way she had fallen flat, and then on her back, and then she kind of was sitting up on, you know, just sitting up on the gutter. And here we were just chatting with them. I don't know, how long were we, Marsha? About an hour or so? I was getting very tired because I was kind of supporting her back. She was leaning against my legs because she couldn't move. You know, we were waiting for the ambulance to come. It took like an hour for them to come. Thankfully, it wasn't anything more critical. But yeah, just this is the kind of thing, friends. Any opportunity that we have that God places in front of us, let us use those opportunities to express the love of Christ to them. Now, Servolution fulfills the words of Jesus. When you think about what he said in Matthew chapter 25, he said, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Okay? So we see that very clearly. Jesus was all about serving others, wasn't he? That's what he was all about. Servolution, we find, also fulfills the mandate of the spirit of prophecy as well. Again, another a text or statement that they really emphasized last week was this one, where it says that Christ's method alone. If we want to be successful in ministering to other people, we need to use whose method? Mine? David Jamison, the guy last week who shared with us? No, it's Christ. And he said this, Ellen White writes this. She writes, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Now, what are the principles that she speaks about to help us do just that? She writes, the Savior mingled. How many of us mingle with non-Adventists during the week? How many of us? Put your hand up if you mingle with a non-Adventist during the week. Then, guys, all of you have a responsibility to share your faith with the people in which you mingle with. Mingle with men or women as one who desired their good. So we must have their good in our hearts as well. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, won their confidence, and then he bade them follow me. Notice that he didn't say straight up, hey, you need to come to church and do a Bible study and get baptized. Notice that? There's a process there, isn't it? He mingled, he desired their good, he showed sympathy, he drew next to them, ministered to their needs, and finally, after making that relationship, then he encouraged them, invited them to come and follow him. Another statement is a beautiful one, this one here. If we would humble ourselves before God, notice, be kind, be courteous, tender-hearted, and pitiful. It says there would be 100 conversions to the truth where there is now only one. Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, don't we, friends? If we really want to make a difference in our local community for Christ. So, question is, why do we serve? They really emphasized this strongly last week, and it's very obvious, isn't it? Firstly, we serve others for a couple of simple reasons. One, because Jesus did. He's our example in all things. That is why we serve other people. Amen? Sometimes we get so selfish, we get, you know, so enclosed in our castles at home, we don't want to go out. We don't want to share Christ with others. But friends, we need to take every opportunity that Jesus presents and use that for him. We need to serve because he served. Because Jesus asks us to follow his example, another reason why we serve. Also, service is a tangible expression, I like this, of God's love to others. I forget who was telling me this week. Someone had an opportunity to serve someone. I forget the story, but it was a prayer meeting. But they were saying how that in turn they were then able to, you know, why are you doing this for me? Why are you helping me? And then as a result, they were able to share, well, you know, Jesus did this for me and I want to do it for others as well. So it gives us an incredible opportunity to be able to share and express the love of God through an act of service. Another reason is because service breaks down barriers and it opens up hearts. Very important, isn't it? If we go straight up with the Bible and say, hey, you need to follow this, do you think that person's going to come? Not really. But when you have a relationship with someone, and then over the course of time, when it's appropriate and the Holy Spirit is leading, then we have a better opportunity to share the Word of God. Kind of makes sense? Kind of makes sense. Marsha and I, the other day, I caught up with a friend of mine from my childhood. I didn't realize he just lives a couple of blocks away from where I currently live. And we went out for dinner one Saturday night. And, you know, I didn't have to say, oh, by the way, I'm a pastor. I need to share with you the 28 fundamentals. Didn't do that. We were just in the course of our conversation. I was just asking, oh, Ernest, what do you do? What do you believe? And it was just natural. You know, you didn't have to force it. But because they've given me permission to share with them, as a result, we were able to do that, weren't we? And so I'm planning on marrying them later this year, so I'm going to do some premarital counseling and get a lot more scripture in there as well, too, in a positive way. Okay, where am I up to? Okay. Yes, the final point. Another reason why we serve is because service changes our world, our church, but most importantly, friends, it changes our lives and our hearts as well. For those of you who have done that, you know exactly what I'm referring to there. So, friends, the goal of Extreme Servolution calls for the demonstration of the love of Jesus. That's what it's all about. You see, this demonstration of the gospel replacing the proclamation of the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't preach the word of God. Of course we have to do that. You need to bring people to a point, and then they have to make a decision to follow through on the things that you've been sharing with them. But what I'm saying, friends, is that if we take this Bible and shove it down people's throat before they've got a relationship with us, then it's not really going to make much difference. They're not really going to listen. The fact is, words are important, but our actions carry far more weight than our words, okay? We need to combine the two. I'm not saying don't share any Bible at all, because that's the other extreme. We can be loving and kind and friendly and all these things, but if we don't encourage and challenge people, then we're not really doing them any good either. We need to make sure that we still do that, but first and foremost, we need to mingle, show people that we care, and you'll see changes take place. All right, so these are the five steps they kind of shared with us last weekend that I want to share with you now. Firstly, Extreme Servolution is all about serving with no strings attached. Okay? What does that mean? Well, it can be defined as one of the greatest principles of Christianity. The foundation of the Christian faith is the undeserved, unmerited, and unconditional grace of God toward every human being who has ever lived. That's what the grace of God is all about, friends. God doesn't just favor us because we're worshiping on Sabbath. He favors everyone, doesn't he? His grace is extended to everyone. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, he said, a new command I give you to do what? What is it? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you, Jesus says to his disciples, you, each one of us, must love one another as well. Follow his example. Now, how did Jesus love others? One of the most well-known Bible verses in all of the scriptures. In fact, Coretti quoted it in her prayer this morning is this. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says there, for God so loved the world that, what did he do? He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Notice, friends, in the context of John chapter 3, when Jesus first shared these words with Nicodemus very late one night, it shocked him out of belief. You see, Nicodemus was expecting to hear a completely different kind of strategy, but he was jarred by the answer that he had received from Jesus. First, Jesus asserted that God has a son. Now, how do you think that went down with a Pharisee like Nicodemus? It didn't go down too well, did it? Because this challenged his belief in monotheism, okay, which was a core belief of Judaism. Secondly, Jesus declared the redemptive mission of God. He said it was not based on, for God so loved the synagogue, those who were coming to church every week, but that God so loved the world. He loved the whole world and everyone in it. You see, for Pharisees like Nicodemus, the kingdom of God was seen as a reward intended for those who were faithful to him. Okay, it was not meant to be a gift that was to go to the whole world. Only those who attended church ultimately would receive that free gift of salvation. But as we saw in this verse here, it makes it very clear that his love is for the whole world. Finally, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." So God gave his Son freely to the entire world with no strings attached. In fact, Jesus never left the city in the same condition when he entered into it, when he arrived. He never left it the same, but he never wanted people, that those whom he ministered and served and healed, he never wanted them to kind of feel like they had to owe him something, all right? It was all free. It was all by grace. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, it says there that we, each one of us here, are to be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, that we are to be imitators of him. So friends, if we are determined to be like Jesus, who went about blessing and healing people freely, then don't you think that we need to treat people the same way? What do you think? I think so. In fact, sometimes we need to serve others without them even knowing who has been doing or who the one is who has actually served them. It's not about getting a trumpet blast out, letting people know, here I am, I can help you now, I'm the man, you know, kind of thing. It's not about that. You see, we should not serve people in our communities expecting people to become Seventh-day Adventists. That sounds like heresy, doesn't it? In fact, there are people I visit every week. I don't even do Bible studies with. I just visit because I've just got a relationship with them. But do we talk about the Bible? Yeah. At times things come up in our discussion and it gives me an opportunity to share. But I don't walk in there with my Bible and say, okay, we're gonna do a Bible study now. But it's just those connections that we have with people, friends. It opens up opportunities where we can then share Jesus with others, with no strings attached. All right, extreme servolution is also about serving with extravagant generosity. Jesus was a revolutionary, or should I say a servolutionary. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Beautiful, beautiful verse there. Describes the love and the compassion of God, the reason why he came to this earth to minister in the first place. You see, when you pay a ransom for someone or something, it's usually quite a high price, isn't it? You value that object, whatever it may be. You'll pay whatever it is in order to get that thing back. And just as when you think about the transaction that took place when Jesus came, when God offered up his Son for us, what do we get out of this transaction? Firstly, we get Jesus. Secondly, we get forgiveness. Thirdly, we get an amazing life now and also in the hereafter. But what does Jesus get out of it? He just gets us. I mean, we get all these incredible things, and yet all he gets is us, and yet that is what's most important to him. Obviously, we get the best part of the deal, but amazingly, God, he doesn't see it that way, friends, at all. In his unbelievable love, he wanted us so badly that he would send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And this is pretty ridiculous generosity, isn't it? when you really think about it, when you weigh it up, you know, what he's getting out of the bargain and what we are getting out of it, we're the ones who seem to come out better. But that's certainly not the case from God's perspective. You see, friends, ridiculous generosity describes exactly what we have received from God. He is the perfect example of service in extreme giving. Every account of his life, as we read the scripture, describes Jesus living in an overwhelmingly generous life, with both his time, with his talents, with his resources, with his compassion, and most importantly, in the way in which he served people as well. We see this very clearly in the life of Christ. You see, friends, the church needs to serve the world around it with the same kind of unconditional love and grace that Jesus has given it, or given us. We need to risk doing outrageously loving things, because when we go above and beyond the call of duty in ministering to someone else who is in need, what we're doing in effect is showing the incredible love that's demonstrated and was manifested in the life of Christ. That is what we're doing. All right, Extreme Servolution is also about... Extreme Servolution is about expanding the kingdom, not just the church. You see, this leads us to another huge concept that often we don't fully understand and comprehend. It's not about growing our church, even though that's important, but it's not about that, friends. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. And as we'll see, when we do that, what do you think is going to happen to the church? It's going to grow as well, isn't it? Yeah. You see, we serve others in our communities to advance God's kingdom here upon this earth. As Christians, we are called to do our part in bringing the kingdom of God to this earth every single day. Now, you may ask, how? How do we go about doing that? Well, whether you realize it or not, God has given each one of us every day a kingdom assignment. A kingdom assignment. Every day when we pray, you and I can bring the kingdom of God down upon this earth in the way in which we minister and treat others. Notice what Jesus told his disciples, how he taught them to pray. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on where? On earth, as it is in heaven." So how it's done in heaven can also be done on earth as well. Another point, extreme servolution, it reminds us that people matter to God. People matter to God. When we pray and ask God to live out his kingdom values in our life every day, then as we go through our days, friends, we can watch out for opportunities where God brings someone into our life in order as an opportunity, as where we can extend God's kingdom. And so let me ask you, friends, are we praying daily? Are we praying the Lord's Prayer every day in our lives in order that that opportunity may be created? For if we will focus attention on building God's kingdom, as I mentioned earlier, if we focus on extending God's kingdom here on earth, we're going to find our own church is going to grow as a result as well. The Gospel of Luke records the greatest reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth in order to serve. He said there that for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. You see, Jesus lived his life seeking opportunities to find lost people and lead them to his Heavenly Father. And every day, friends, he turned his love for people into action, into action. He had the ability to be in a crowded multitude of people, and yet he could still minister to the needs of one specific individual within that massive crowd. That's how the compassion and how much he loved people. You see, the heart of God sees people in our cities, in our homes, next door neighbors, in the cubicle maybe where we work, down the street. He sees these people as absolutely precious in his sight, and as people that he cannot possibly live without throughout all of eternity. And so people matter to God more than anything else, friends. And shouldn't we then have the same attitude when it comes to loving others as well? We should have that same compassion, that same love, that same drive to want to encourage them to become his followers. Finally, my final point, extreme servolution is the path to continuous blessing. Path to continuous blessing. Now, probably the clearest picture we see of Jesus ministering is found in John chapter 13. And that, of course, is the communion service. And in Jesus' day, people, they wore sandals. They didn't have these, you know, high-class shoes that we have today. They would walk around, and they traveled these dusty roads. They'd get very dirty. And the custom of the day, of course, was when they would come into someone's home, that there would be a servant there who would wash the feet of those weary travelers. And in John chapter 13, it describes how Jesus, how he got up from the table, how he took off his garment, he put on a servant's towel, and he preached a sermon in action by serving the disciples and washing their feet. Then he said these following words, after ministering to the needs of his disciples. He said in verse 17, "Now that you know these things," he said, "you will be blessed if you do what? If you do them." Jesus said that there are many blessings that come when we bless or serve other people. In fact, this is not the first time we find this particular principle emphasized in the Bible. We find it with Abraham back in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It says there, God speaking to Abraham, he said, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So we find, friends, that God does not bless us for the sake of receiving a blessing. He blesses us in order that we in turn may do what? Bless others and serve others through blessing. Serve others, and they in turn receive a blessing as well. Now, the role of the church, friends, is simply this. It's really to bless others, bless the world. That's what our role is, friends. Not coming to church every week, as a wonderful blessing it is to come and fellowship and to do that. But ultimately, it's what we do during the week, how we bless others through ministering to them. Every time we do it, friends, amazing things will happen. You see, friends, can you imagine how different the world would be if each one of us who claims to know God would do one act of kindness for someone every day in our community? Each one of us, every Christian throughout the world. I think the world would be a completely different place, wouldn't it? Maybe look a little bit more like heaven, maybe. You see, the results would be astonishing. The world would be a better place. We could overcome all evil in the world with good if we all made that commitment to live our lives just as Jesus did. But friends, the opposite is also true as well. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil in our world is for good men and women to do nothing. So, in closing, let me ask you, will you perpetuate the problems in our world today, or will you make excuses and be indifferent to the needs of others, or will you gladly join in an extreme servolution and make an incredible difference in our local community and in other people's lives? You see, friends, God is counting on each one of us. The world needs the church today to rise up and to make a difference in revealing the love, the compassion, and the mercy of God to others. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, let the servolution begin. Now, before I close in prayer, and we're going to separate for the foot washing, just to let everyone know that this coming Tuesday night, you know, I'm preaching a message here, and that's fine, but often it goes over people's head. But this coming Tuesday night here at church, 6:30, some of us are going to get together and brainstorm, pray, think about what we can do here at Eden's Landing to make a difference in our local community. I know some people are already doing that, and we praise God for that. But we also want to think about how we can do other things to make a difference, okay? So we'll encourage and invite each and every one of you to come along to that meeting, 6:30, Tuesday night, in order to think about how we can make a difference and serve people in our local community here in Beenleigh and Eden's Landing. So let's pray, and then we'll separate this time. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we have just been challenged, reflected upon some of the principles in the Scripture, some of the principles of the life of Jesus and the things that he implemented and the compassion that he had for others, Lord, I pray that that we can start thinking about things that we can do here at Eden's Landing to make a difference in other people's lives. Things, Lord, that may not necessarily lead people into the kingdom of God, but at least extend the love of Christ to others. Lord, challenge us. Get us out of our comfortable seats, Lord, and help us to truly make a difference. I know we talk about these things and we walk away, we feel good, but then we don't do nothing, Lord. And I just pray that that will not be the case this time, that we will truly think about how we can really impact others for Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayer now, Lord, and bless us now as we separate at this time in order to wash each other's feet and then in order to come back to celebrate the communion service. Thank you for hearing our prayer now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, it's now come time for the foot washing. So we have the hall over there, the women and the men. We're just going to separate this time. I'd also like to invite the children. Is this right, Rebecca? We're asking the children to come forward, to come up the front, and we have a children's story for you. Okay?
All right, so we're going to look at a few.